Welcome back, Mistakes listeners. This is Dave, and this is episode 73. And I'll just get the business out of the way. We recorded this on September 8, 2016. What did we look at this week? Well, this is kind of a part two from part one last week. As you know, last week we looked at the potential of kids liking things that you just can't stand. Well, this week we asked the question, or we kind of got into a debate of how to introduce kids to kids to things that you actually like, and how that may play out. As you know, you can follow us on Twitter at Parenting Mistakes. Nope, actually, Twitter at Parent Mistakes. And you can follow us on Facebook at Parenting Mistakes. So, as you can see, sometimes even I screw up the difference there. You can email us at parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. And as always, sit back and enjoy the show. Todd, do you have a pop quiz for me? Because you always do. Is there a pop quiz today? Because I'm ready. Am I? I'm never ready. It's always a pop. I can't talk. I'm not ready for the pop quiz.
That's good, because the pop quiz is canceled.
Oh, yay! I even did some prep. Not really. Okay.
Well, actually, you know what? I'll make it into a quiz.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so as you are aware, and if you've watched previous listened to previous podcasts, this is a audio experience, you know
both
that...
Both you and I are off today. What?
What?
What? Yeah, it's the Dave Kinney Show.
Okay, as you are undoubtedly aware, my daughter is off to college.
Yes.
And I took her to college last week, went out with her, took her shopping, got her all the necessities, got her moved into her dorm. She's all settled. Life is good. We walked into the dorm room and we were sort of looking around and sort of inspecting it. And there's shelves and different pieces of furniture. Standard dorm room. You lived in the dorms, did you not?
Yeah, did she have a... oh, yeah, I lived in the dorms. Loved the dorms. Loved the dorms.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, I went and I saw your dorms. You actually never came to see my dorms.
That is not true. Well, let's see. Where were you living? We came there senior year, I think.
Oh, okay. Did you really?
Yes, we stopped there.
I remember Chris being there. I remember Matt showing there.
Matt and I stopped there on our cross-country drive because we drove this car.
Okay, very good.
Anyway.
I don't remember it.
Good grief. Okay, so here's your quiz. There were a couple of items in the room that my daughter was unable to identify. Like, she looked at something and said, "What's this?"
I'm working on it. That's okay. The pop quiz, I'm assuming.
Yes.
I am trying to figure that out. Perhaps a fire alarm?
No.
A sprinkler head?
No. She was able to identify those.
Okay. Yeah, well, you never know. Because it's not typically, I don't have any sprinklers in my room.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think here. What were some things that were distinctly in the dorm? Oh, this is a great question.
They're not necessarily distinctly in the dorm. They're not exclusive to dorm rooms. I'll give you some hints.
Okay.
Warmer, colder.
Yeah.
On the wall.
On the wall, there was a poster. Like lamps or something? Like, I remember there were lamp, like, sconces.
Okay, no lamps.
no sconces.
Small.
Like shaving cream?
Barely flat.
Okay, I have no... Oh, let's see here, a heating device.
No, she can identify
like,
a heater.
Okay, like, you know, I got to turn it up to 80 degrees now, but no, it's got to be 70.
All right, should I just stamp an F on the pop quiz right now?
I am boggling my brain. There was a desk in my room. Here's what I remember. There were two beds. There was a dresser. That's all the stuff you know. The sconces.
Yes.
Had a central light. There was a closet that I could change my wardrobe in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I had a roommate already, which was a bummer, but yeah.
Okay. There were actually three things that are all sort of related.
Yeah.
And they're all related to technology. Technology
all right, so this is,
of
this
a
is,
past era.
Technology of a past era.
Well, maybe not a past era. It's still being used today, but unfamiliar to my daughter.
What, they had a fax machine in there?
Okay, so the first thing they had
was... A telephone?
Yeah. So first of all, there was a...
Okay, so a telephone.
Well, the telephone isn't there. When I was in college, there was a phone on the wall.
Okay.
In the dorm room.
Yes.
There is still a plate there. They just they haven't removed all the plates and, re-drywalled and that sort of thing. So there is a plate there that just a kid wouldn't know.
Right.
There was a coaxial cable jack down low on the wall, which I don't think she's ever seen before. I don't know. She's never dealt with what's behind the TV.
Right. And or everything is wireless, I'm assuming, in your house.
Correct. And then there was also, a little more updated, a little box with a phone jack and a data port.
Oh, okay.
So they probably put those in there, sometime in the 90s when internet was, for most people, still wired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Into desktop.
Yeah, I mean, I still wire stuff. It's still faster.
Oh, sure.
Yep.
So there you go. So those are some things that she's looking at this and kind of going, what is this? What do I do with this? And I have
to. Did you give her a coaxial cable or?
I didn't because she doesn't have a television.
So I'm assuming the dorm has got Wi-Fi.
It does.
Okay.
So whereas you and I might have put a television in our dorm room, she and her roommate didn't and don't seem to have any plans to.
Well, because they got their phones, I'm assuming.
They got their phones and they have their laptops and they'll watch Netflix on that or something like
that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, if they were guys, maybe they'd think about a television for gaming or something like that.
Or sports, bigger TV.
Sports, bigger TV. So that leads us a smooth segue.
It does. It does. But I'm curious, did you go back to your old dorm room to see it when you were there?
Not my old dorm room. I went to my old dorm.
Did you? You didn't want to go inspect your room to, make sure ship shape and Bristol fashion for whoever was coming in.
I don't know. There's limits to nostalgia.
Yeah. Well, me and my roommate used to hide secrets in the room for the next people to come.
Oh, that's nice.
So there's some. If anybody wants to know, top of Morrison, there are some secrets hidden in a couple of the rooms up there.
I didn't necessarily want to go knock on the door of a dorm room and say hello.
Hey, this is my room. Get out.
I'm a random adult, and I had this dorm room 26 years ago.
Yeah, and I just recall you guys had somebody in the dorms that actually created a hot tub, right? Your campus, or was that Matt's campus? Somebody.
Matt's campus.
No, it was yours. I could have sworn there was some engineer student that had created a hot tub in their room, like a temporary hot tub.
I think that was a legend, but it's possible.
We should check it out. I'm sure it's on the internet now.
We used to take sticks of Right Guard deodorant and set them on fire.
Oh my gosh, why?
Well, because the stick, it was a solid, alcohol-based stick.
Yeah.
So you could actually light the top, and it would sort of just have this nice blue flame with a nice scent to it.
Gave that tiki torch.
Yeah, it was kind of like these waxless, sort of like these wax warmers.
Nice.
So
I was at the tallest dorm on campus, and what I did was I put my bed up on the highest stilts that I could to secure that I was the highest sleeper every night.
I see.
So when I went to bed at night, I was sleeping at the highest point on campus.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, now, at least at my daughter's school, they used to, when I was there, we built lofts. And
right.
Now they don't let you do that anymore because it's a liability. So they have stackable furniture.
Oh, really?
It's actually pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. So you can stack a bookcase on top of a desk and then put your bed on top of that.
Whoa, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so you can actually, it's sort of like, Lincoln Logs.
Yeah.
They all sort of fit nicely together, and you can do different combinations. They give you this paper with all these different combinations of furniture stacking you're allowed to do.
We should do that in our house. That's awesome. I love it.
So anyway.
Yes.
In our last episode.
Right. We'd gotten to a topic.
We got into a topic, and then we sort of got off on a little side topic, and we were talking about, well, the general topic was, what do you do when, your kids are interested in things that you're not necessarily interested in, and vice versa.
Yeah, so this is like a part two to that part one.
It's part two, but we were gonna have a little fun with this, and we're going to channel a little bit of your inner Trekkie and you and your claimed level of Star Wars geekiness, which you say is higher than mine.
But... It is. I'm 100% confident of that.
Okay. All right. Yep. Well, we can debate that. Maybe the listeners can decide.
Okay.
So anywho, we could make this a general philosophical topic, but we can also make it fun in terms of teaching your kids about stuff from your childhood. And this is a topic that comes up in a general way, I'm sure, on a regular basis. What did you do when you were a kid? Or you would tell your kids, oh, when I was a kid, we used to do this. Or, well, this used to be here. And, you know, when I was your age, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Right. So, but here's one of the challenges. And this applies to media, television, movies, that sort of stuff.
Can we throw toys in there, too?
And toys. Okay. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Yes.
And so it can be hard to know where to start.
Yes. And the other issue that I have discovered is that you can prematurely start on stuff and it can end up being a real bummer.
Correct.
As an eager parent, I'll give you the Lego example. And Legos are awesome in that I can bring out my space Legos, and they still connect to today's Legos that are in the store, right?
Correct.
So
yes.
30-year-ago Legos still will work with Legos of today, which is really cool. You know,
it is.
It really says something about that particular toy.
Yes.
But I would say with my eldest daughter, I brought some Legos out, and it was a complete flop, right? She was too young for it, and at the end of the day, she just hated them. And it was a real bummer. Because I really wanted my eldest daughter to experience Legos the way that I had. Of course, as a boy, it's a little – I hate to be gender specific, but I would have to say that Legos are a little more geared towards guys than they are girls. Although there's a whole humongous Target toy aisle that's dedicated a whole almost row of girls' Legos now.
My daughter has a number of those sets, Friends sets.
Yes, correct. And I thought, well, that's that. We're done. But lo and behold, my second one comes along and says, what's this? Oh, it's just Legos. Get out of here, kid. You'll hate them. But she opened up the box and she loved them. That might actually give you a little bit of a parenting secret in there as well, right?
Yes.
A lot of pressure, a lot of angst on my behalf to say that my eldest would fall in love with Legos. Now, my second one, who is like, Legos? I don't care. You want to play with them? Whatever. She loves them. And we actually now build together, right? It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
But I'm not exactly sure what I did right or wrong there, right? Which is what kind of the topic of the show is, like introducing them to things that delighted you as a child. And you want to kind of pass that on. But like I said, I think I blew it with my eldest. Was it too soon, or maybe just didn't like Legos?
Well, and you talked about the timing of it, and this has been a theme that we have always addressed when we've looked at television shows and movies, is when is it appropriate for kids to see certain types of content?
Yep.
And I'm on the other end of the spectrum as the elder parent, as you like to call me.
Sure.
And one of
you're
the things
you're calling yourself that now.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just going to embrace it.
You see how that worked? Yeah.
Yes. So we're on the other end of the spectrum, and one of the things that my youngest has had to work through, and it's not a terrible thing, but with older siblings who, for example, have seen a ton of the popular PG-13 movies, because that's PG-13 is kind of the sweet spot these days for most studios. We've talked about that a little bit.
Yep.
Most studios are angling for a PG-13 movie because then they can suck in the whole audience. It's not too little kid for the parents, but it's cool enough for the youngsters.
Yep. Thank you, Temple of Doom.
Yes. So we have had to sit there and go, okay, she's 12. Is it appropriate for her to see, say, PG-13 movies? So let me ask you a little more specific question, because last time we sort of got off on Star Trek a little bit, which you are a fan of. And this is always kind of an interesting thing, too, because at the core of this, I think, you are trying to share with your children some of your joy. You mentioned that, right?
Yes. Yep,
Say,
absolutely.
hey, this has given me great pleasure over the years. I would like my children to enjoy things as well. And as we talked about in our last episode, they can enjoy other things, and if it makes them happy, great. But you know what you experience with this.
Yes.
Okay, so it gets complicated with a lot of material. So if you take Star Trek, and again, you know that I'm. If Star Trek is a foreign language, you are fluent, and I am barely conversational. How about
Sure,
that?
that's fair.
Yeah. So you've got the classic show. You have. Do you break the movies into generations of movies? You have the first set of movies, which is like 10 of them. Yes.
There's three sets. So yeah, you could break them down into, well, the Kelvin timeline and the Prime Universe,
Okay.
right?
All right.
And then you have TOS, the original series set of films, and then Next Gen set of films.
Okay. So you got the original series, you've got these three sets of films, and then you've got Next Generation TV show, you've got Deep Space Nine, you've got a couple other ones. You got the Quantum Leap guy, and then you got the lady.
Time out, Todd. You're getting a little bit of weird feedback on your mic.
Okay.
So just want to make sure that our viewers don't have to suffer through click, 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 click. Is your
I can hear fine.
good? I can. Okay, test 1, 2, 3. Go for it.
Yeah, I can hear. Is that any better?
You're still getting a little bit clicky, but that's okay. Yep.
That's okay.
All
All right. We are a professional podcast.
right. Yeah, that's true. It's true. I'm like, all right, do I just suffer through the clickiness or, make our users suffer through the users, sorry. Our audience suffer through
Our
the
audience.
clickiness. Yeah, so we have TOS, we have Next Gen, we have Deep Space Nine, we've got Voyager, we've got Enterprise, we've got these series of films, and Star Trek Discovery, which is coming out this January.
And that's going to be on TV.
And that'll be on, well, it's a little bit
Oh, yeah,
controversial,
okay, that's right. It's on the
right?
web. All right. So, all this stuff. If you were going to, first of all, I guess I should ask this question. Have your, let's see, Kayleen 7?
Kayleen is 7.
Okay. Has she watched any Star Trek yet?
Well, I blew it up there too, right? So she was 3, and I thought,
You
hey,
were overeager, weren't you?
we'll watch some TOS together, and that was a robot. Oh, the animated series. Throw that in.
Oh, all right, okay.
Yep. Which is actually coming out in Blu-ray this November to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. So,
Gotcha.
and that little plug there. There's gonna be many plugs here. Star
Yes.
Trek's great. Eat your Star Trek. Try and think here. So yes, it was too soon. It was way too soon. And again, there was just an opportunity that I kind of blew because now she has no desire to watch it whatsoever. Right? Now, I had, being a hardcore fan, I have to say that millennials, I'm not saying millennials don't get it, but some of this next generation, this new generation of folks, the old Star Trek just isn't holding up for folks. It's just not holding up. And
Would you expect it to?
well, you have to watch it a lot. It's kind of like watching Napoleon Dynamite. You sit down with Napoleon Dynamite once, you're like, this movie is terrible. Or The Big Lebowski. You sit down with The Big Lebowski once, and you're like, this is filth, right? I can't stand it. I don't understand it. I don't get why people love this film. You watch it 5 more times, and you see the richness, the depth, the actual amazing humor of that movie. Spinal Tap is similar. So I'd say that Star Trek starts to become like an acquired taste, like coffee. First time you have coffee, it's terrible. The more you drink it, the more you'll want it. I think it's got a lot of substance. And I think once you figure out about Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, the holy trinity of TV, you're in like Flynn, right? It's a great show at that point.
Okay,
It
but how
takes a
much,
while to get there.
all right, but how much of that is about content and how much of it is about the fact that it looks dated? Like, would you have the same experience if you put your kid, in front of Leave It to Beaver or Bonanza or, any what we would call classic television from the 50s, 60s era?
If you're going to get specific like that, I'd say Bonanza, pfft, Leave It to Beaver is adaptable to any generation.
Okay.
It's immediate. You're like, I get where Beaver's at, and the same issues that they face as parents then are not totally the same, but the hijinks are all the same, right? Kids get into silly stuff all the time. Mom and dad scold him, and on they go. This is why the Brady Bunch works as well.
Okay.
My daughters could watch the Brady Bunch right now, and they'd love it.
Okay. So if you were going to reintroduce this at some point, you're going to be strategic. When are you going to reintroduce this, and what will you reintroduce with?
Well, let's take Leave It to Beaver. I don't think they're quite ready for Leave It to Beaver, right?
Okay.
It's weird because a lot of the TV that I was introduced to, my parents did nothing to introduce it to me, right? They watched a lot of Leave It to Beaver growing up, right? That was on TV. They watched all sorts of things, right? But they never sat me down and said, son, now is the time for you to watch Leave It to Beaver. Now, what happened was Nick at Night at one time did some awesome things for everybody in this culture, was they started showing classic TV, right? Remember all that?
Right. Yes.
And I fell in love with all those shows without my parents' influence. And it was widely popular for everybody. And it was great, finally, to sit down with my mom and dad and laugh together at shows that they'd watched before, but Leave It to Beaver was brand new for me. Or let's say Patty Duke, right?
Okay.
I'm not sure. Well, Leave It to Beaver was kind of always on. But like Nick and I introduced a whole plethora of black and white TV that I just saw on my own. And then my parents were like, you like this? Oh, yeah, I love it. Right? I can't get enough of it. I'll watch The Munsters, whatever, right?
Right. So, back to the Star Trek question. When would you reintroduce this to your daughter?
My heart, my gut says not to reintroduce it at all. If they
really
somehow pick up on it, then I go, oh, great. Let's watch Deep Space Nine or whatever.
So you're just going to kind of do it subtle-like, where you sort of say, they're going to figure out
a similar issue. Minecraft. My eldest can play Minecraft, all right? My youngest cannot play Minecraft, and I specifically told her, you are not ready for Minecraft. There's a lot of reverse psychology here that's going on, and it drives her nuts. I'm like, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to cry because it's very tactile. It takes a lot of coordination to run Minecraft. You're not ready for it. And now it's all she can think about.
Okay.
My youngest, I just want to play Minecraft, Dad. And I'm like, but you're not ready. And every time you sit down with that game, you go nuts. You get angry because you can't play it right because it takes a lot of coordination.
Okay.
So I'm like, part of it is like a lot of the media could just be self-discovery. But then the minute that discovery happens, let's say my youngest, who has not had the, hey, Dad made me watch Star Trek moment, I'm just hoping against hope that maybe, I don't know what, sneak it into her queue or something? Right?
Well, but this is always the interesting aspect of parenting is you can encourage a child to watch something or participate in something or explore something verbally, but you could also just do it yourself, and then the kid wants to do something with their parent, which doesn't always happen, but happens sometimes. And then they sit down and say, oh, what are you doing? What are you watching?
Right.
And if they sit down with you and there's a connection there because you're interested and they dig you, then that's where sort of the education happens.
Yes.
So
in my world, it's kind of hit or miss, right? Like introducing them to things that I've enjoyed or liked. I'm like, I guess what's happened to me as a parent is I've left all hope of hoping that they'll enjoy something that I like. And
okay,
that when it happens, you know, oh, great. Here we go. We're on board. Right.
Okay. But and we asked this last episode. Does that bother you? I mean, do you want them to like that?
Well, okay. The focus of this episode is introducing things to your children that you enjoyed when you were a child that you thought were positive and good, right?
Correct.
That's a tough one because, again, you know, Star Trek's full of all sorts of marketing. Star Wars is full of all sorts of marketing. Legos is full of all, you know, all these products that we're throwing at our kids. Sometimes I wonder what kind of substance I'm giving them, right?
Sure.
It's a question of, you know. My hope is they'll like pizza, but even pizza's not all that great, right?
Sure. It's the gap between do you want them to like it versus do you want them to like it to the level that you have liked it?
Yes.
In terms of collecting the movies and collecting memorabilia and spending time exploring the larger universe of things.
Right.
Okay, so let me ask you a question that's not really related to parenting, but you know, I'll just go Star Wars or Star Trek dork on you.
Okay.
If you were going to introduce a child to content, and some of this is about parenting too, but if you were going to introduce them to Star Trek, let's say that they are quote unquote old enough. Let's say that they are 13.
Yeah, let's say they're 13. What Star Trek would I throw them?
What order do you do things in? Do you go chronological? Do you go the current set of movies and then go back?
So what's interesting about Star Trek is that there is no child entry point. The animated series, which comes to close to kids television, is still it's incredibly adult. Because it was supposed to be an extension of the fourth or fifth season of the 5-year mission, right? So they were really trying to appeal to adults. So, like, just looking at Star Trek in general, I'd say at 13, pick anything up that appeals to you. Mm. But Star Trek, again, it's kind of like coffee. It's not like Star Wars, which is immediately is a zinger. Boom, right? Like, if I were to do Star Wars now, I would say, hey, Kayleen, you're 13, let's watch Rebels together. That's easy.
Right.
Watch Rebels together, you get this, you're like, you want more? There's plenty of more. But that's kind of like what Lucas or, say, what Disney has done, and this is what Disney excels at really well, is here you go, here are your heroes at this level, but when you're ready for more, we've got more for you all the way up to age 99.
Right.
Right? Star Trek usually sits in that classic category of 18 to 45 young male adult.
At face value, this is still supposed to be a bunch of scientists being scientific, and they just happen to get into fights occasionally.
They get into fights almost every episode. Right?
All
right,
last nerd question.
I answered your question other than I had hoped that I think they find it organically, I'd hope, right?
No, like, but you did answer it. You said you feel like you can jump in at any point.
Yeah, I do. I believe any of the shows you can jump into, totally get it. And then if you're thirsty for more, great. I mean, how about this? Here's the reverse. I would not recommend a lot of the movies for your first viewing. I think there's a lot of the shows that would totally tank you, right? Like, if you were to watch Star Trek the Motion Picture, you'd never want to watch Star Trek again. Even though I feel like it's an amazing Star Trek, as a 13-year-old or even 11-year-old, you'd be like, "What? What is this slow science fiction thing that I'm watching here?"
Right.
I would actually, if I were watching the movies, I'd say watch Star Trek Beyond. It's awesome. It's great in every way, and it's fun for all.
Okay. Last question. What's the proper order to watch Star Wars movies?
Well, if you're, again, that's an interesting question, because if we're considering the canon, right?
Yes.
So, oh man, we've talked about this before, right?
Have we?
I know we've talked about this before.
On a podcast?
Yeah, because there's some guy out there that's got the perfect formula, and I can't remember the name of it. There's a name for it.
Okay.
In which they eliminate the Phantom Menace completely.
Oh, you can't do that.
Well, this is what they do. They watch episode 4, 5. Then you watch episode 2, 3. Then you watch episode 6. And then you watch episode 7.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the quote-unquote internet perfect order. And then you say, if you're really interested in seeing some prehistory in the Phantom Menace, go for it. But there's no point to the whole thing.
Okay.
And then Clone Wars gets really interesting because it's completely out of chronological order. I don't know if you know this.
I don't.
But if you watch Clone Wars religiously, like I have, none of the some of the episodes like go together, but suddenly they'll have an episode that takes place, say, 30 years earlier. I mean, it just happens like all – it's a smattering of everything. There's okay. usually kind of an overall arc to everything that's happening for the season, but it's totally out of chronological order. Not completely, but yes. So it gets really interesting because if you want to throw a dash of Clone Wars in there, then you can actually cover some of the issues that happen in Phantom Menace because the Clone Wars is just a superior product of Phantom Menace.
Okay.
Right? And then watch Rebels. I'd say watch Rebels for fun because it is just fun Star Wars. It's a ton of fun.
Okay.
That's my recommendation. And again, if I were to sit down with Keenly right now and she's like, interested in Star Wars, I would sit and watch Rebels with her. Because it's just a ton of fun.
And that's appropriate for her?
No. Not yet. Because there's a lot of violence in Rebels and Clone Wars.
Yes, there is. I have seen bits and pieces of that. But you're the expert.
Well, that's my recommendation. What's your recommendation?
For Star Wars?
Yeah.
I'm kind of a classic 4-5-6-1-2-3-7 person.
Yep.
I'm okay with that. I don't have the same hatred for the prequels that a lot of the diehards have. My theory is, and this is a good parenting thing too, sort of related to our topic, part of my theory of why Star Wars fans hate the prequels so much is that they cannot relive their youth. And they can't recapture the awe and wonder that they experienced when they saw the first set of Star Wars movies back in the day. That's part of it.
Yeah. Well, The Phantom Menace is just not a very good movie.
See, I think it's fine.
Oh, it's not a very good movie at all, Todd.
No,
on you.
No.
It's just not a very good movie, man. It's just not. There's nothing to defend about it.
I think it's good. I don't think it's great, but I think it's good.
It's just not a very good movie.
See, you have to take my Worldviews of Star Wars class, and then I will explain the philosophical depth of Episode 1.
Wow, that's a whole other episode, and if you want to get into it...
Yeah, we can. We're going to go on a little side trip here, boys and girls.
Yeah, Part 3, Episode 1.
Was Episode 1...
Well, no, what I like about this new sequence is that once you've watched Episode 5, and he says, Luke, I am your father... Then you have the impact of that, right? But if you go from 5 to 2 to 3, then you get the whole Anakin backstory, and it doesn't spoil anything. And I think 2 and 3 are actually pretty good movies. I think they're very interesting.
See, I think 2 is I think 2 is the worst one.
Really?
Yes.
Well, they're all not very good, Todd. I mean, that's the issue. I mean, really, 1, 2, and 3 should have followed the Harry Potter theme. Anakin Skywalker should have been Harry Potter, except at the end, Harry Potter embraces Voldemort, and it makes complete sense, right? You're like, Harry is constantly dealing with this issue of light versus dark, and everybody's telling him, and what would have been great, okay, well, I'll stop.
We're way off topic.
Yep, yeah. Sorry, but I'm just saying, I mean,
I understand.
About
I understand.
How these films should have gone.
Yeah, I know. But ultimately, we're also talking about what we want our kids to get from them. And we could talk about this. This is the other part of our future episode. The youngsters of today dig the prequels.
No, I'd say they dig Clone Wars.
Well,
and they dig Rebels more than the prequels.
More than the prequels, but they dig the prequels probably in a lot of cases more than the classics. Like,
I go with that. Yeah, that
makes it's sense. Their era. It's their era.
That makes sense. Yeah. So. The millennials go, hey, prequels, right? I get it.
Right, because that's what they grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you can follow us on Twitter, Parent Mistakes, and Facebook, Parenting Mistakes. And you can send us an email, parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. You can listen to our podcasts on Podomatic, iTunes, and YouTube, and soon on Google Play, maybe. And you can buy my book on Amazon.
Oh, that's right.
Business Ethics.
How's that going? Lots of people buy that book yet?
Not enough to quit my day job.
Okay. But it's awesome that people have bought it.
But, you know, if all our listeners out there
buy
my book.
Absolutely. I was tempted to purchase it. We'll see.
You're tempted?
Yeah.
But you resisted temptation?
We'll see. We'll see.
Well, Christmas is coming, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Get your wife a romantic gift.
Well, she actually might really like your book, actually.
She might. Yeah. So, and with that, we're going to go watch some Star Trek.